만 사이대여 아자거여 A great Zechus Baruch Hashem. Erev Shabbos Kodesh to be together. I'm sure this is a nice setup. Just so you should know, we can't use rooms 2 and 3 because Baruch Hashem, you know, this week, Baruch Hashem, we're able to do a major drive for medical supplies to go to Tzevet Hatzalah and to go to the IDF. Baruch Hashem, it was still ongoing. So if you haven't participated yet, we're still, Baruch Hashem, collecting, doing, and it's beautiful, sending multiple duffel bags filled with stuff. Baruch Hashem, so that's why it's a good reason. If you have to be displaced because of Chesed, because of Avas Yisrael, because of Avas Chinam, that's a good reason to be displaced. And I will say, you know, tonight is the Rebbe's Yartzeit. So we're going to do something in Yartz Hashem, you know, a little bit more libiding and intense and formal Amir Tzashem, you know, in the next couple of weeks. But it is the Rabbi's Yartzeit tonight. Hey Cheshvan, the 5th of Cheshvan. So actually, before Steve, you want to do our sponsors?
Sure. Moshe Roth, thank you in memory of Reb David Ben Shmuel. Yartzeit was his best week. Moshe Roth, in memory of Reb David Ben Shmuel Tzvi, whose Yartzeit was his best week, and as a Shmira for our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael. Jerry Applebaum, in honor of the birthday of his daughter Liz.
Mazel tov, mazel tov.
Eli Brum in Zichus for Shalom in the world.
Beautiful.
And Yaffa Kaplan for sponsoring, and thanks to Rabbi Silver for being our anchor for Jewish Talk and Learning.
Okay. So, first of all, tremendous hashkoch to all of our sponsors. And once again, a tremendous hashkoch to Reb Tzvi.
Big one today, big one.
The Yerushalmi Kogel gets taller every week. There's a bracha in the Kogel. So again, Chavri, you should just know, really, like, we come here when we eat, we make brachas, we fabrang, we learn. But Reb Tzvi really works very hard, Baruch Hashem, to make sure that it's a beautiful Erev Shabbos experience for us. So thank you. Thank you very much.
As
thank
a
you,
low-carb Tzvi. Option, we have seltzer.
Baruch Hashem. So, Chavra, so tonight is the... You know, I was thinking a lot in general. I think, like, we're all thinking a lot and just generally contemplative in terms of just everything that's going on. And one of the things I was thinking about, because the truth is, this year and Thursday nights together with all of you is really, it's like the highlight of my week. And thinking about, like, what is it that we're trying to accomplish in learning this Sefer together? Right? What is it that we're trying to do? And of course, on a basic level, we're trying to grow, and we're trying to become better people, trying to become the best version of ourselves. We're trying to become part of the Chevra, together. But I was also thinking that one of the things that I know I'm trying to do, and I hope that the rest of the Chevra is having this experience also, is acquiring a Rebbe. You know, the Hasidim, one of the things that the Hasidim have, you know, a person can have a Rebbe, and a Rebbe is very beautiful, but a Rebbe is very different than a Rebbe. Right? A Rebbe is someone often who teaches you Torah. A Rebbe is someone who, through his teachings and through who he is, actually helps to connect you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a difference, right? A Rebbe teaches me Torah. So why do I need to find a Rebbe? I need to find someone I can understand. I like his style. I could connect. Of course, again, I want to know that he cares about me. I want to care about him. But a Rebbe is someone who essentially takes you by the hand and says, let's go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu together. Let's go. Come with me. Let's go together. Whatever we're going to do it together, and we're going to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu together. And I think one of the most incredible things about learning this Sefer, I think, is hopefully you feel like the Piyajetzna is your Rebbe. As you'll say to yourself, how could the Piyajetzna be my Rebbe? The Piyajetzna was murdered in 1943. Piyajetzna, Hashem Yikom Dumo, how could he be my Rebbe? I never met him. Right? How is that possible? It's possible. When you learn the Torah of the Tzaddik, you connect with the Neshama of the Tzaddik. When you connect with the Neshama of the Tzaddik, you have a relationship with the Tzaddik. And so, every week we come here, and well, so let's be honest, we all have other things we could do, right? As great as the food is, and it is excellent, right? But Lamaisa, like, we're all pulled in different directions. There's plenty of things that we could be doing with our time. But we come here. Why do we come here? Because at the end of the day, you feel the Piagetsna pulling you. And I know that if I take the hand of my Rebbe, if I take the hand of the Piagetsna, he is going to take me to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I know it. To be clear, it doesn't mean I can't get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on my own. Of course I can. Everyone has access to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But some people, but for, you know how like the Ramchal Ramosh Chaim Mutzato, Mesilas Yesharim, he says, he gives the mashal that life is like a maze. Remember this from Ramchal days? Life is like a maze. And he says, most people, what happens in the maze, like you go here, wrong turn. He said, the way it used to work in like the gardens, like of royalty, is you would make it to the middle of the maze and there was an elevated platform. And from there, you could see all the different pathways. So the Piagetsna says there are people who navigate and get through the maze of life. And they're standing on that platform looking down. And if you could connect with one of those people, then they help you navigate the sometimes circuitous maze of life. That's what it means to have a Rebbe. That's what it means to have a relationship with the Piagetsna that we have. Every week we come and we learn the Rebbe's Torah, and every week he takes us by the hand and he navigates us. Every week, well, so you know what happens on Thursday nights for the little bit of time that we have together? We advance a little bit in the maze. And I know that I'm going in the right direction. Why? Because my Rebbe is taking me. Because the Piagetsna is taking me. So here we are on the yard site of the Piagetsna. Hey, Cheshvan. Fifth day of Cheshvan. And you know the power of a yard site is that the nefesh, the neshama, goes higher and higher each yard site. So you think to yourself, the Piagetsna was a tzaddik. He died al kiddush Hashem. You know what I'm saying? It's tragic. We have to revisit this halacha. You know, there's an interesting halacha when someone dies al kiddush Hashem. Normally when a person dies, so there's a process, there's a tara, there's a purification of the body. When a person dies al kiddush Hashem, there's no tara. There's no purification. The person is considered to be complete and completely holy. They're buried as is with their clothing. They're buried. They're not no tachrichim, no shrouds. They're buried simply as is. That's what it means to die al kiddush Hashem. And unfortunately, again, this is a halacha lemaisa for us in this current matziv. How many kiddushim? How many people were murdered al kiddush Hashem? Kiddushim. The highest line, and the truth is, I should say it because like somebody said it to me the other day, and I had to just very lovingly just correct a little bit. You know, someone said to me, Kedoshim, how many of these young people were at a music festival on Shabbos? On Shabbos? The Chil Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael? All right, Chil Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael is a terrible thing. But when Jews are murdered, al kiddush Hashem, whether you murdered on a Shabbos, you murdered on a Sunday, you murdered on a Tuesday, whatever you were doing is completely and unequivocally irrelevant. When you die for being a Jew, you automatically ascend to the highest levels of Shemayim. So the Rebbe died al kiddush Hashem. Rabbi said, but it's just important. I just want to highlight this. And maybe I should have said it at the beginning. When did we start this sefer? 14 years ago?
About 2007.
3 months ago. Thank you. It makes me feel better. Now I know it's over a year, about a year and a month or so, a year and 2 months. I'll say, but I really like, that's the aschala. We're coming here to just understand. So somebody asks you, you're walking down the street, somebody asks you who your Rebbe is. Piagetsna. Piagetsna's my Rebbe. I'm a chassid of the Piagetsna. Someone says, well, you don't look like a chassid of the Piagetsna. So it's very simple. Chassid the Piagetsna is not what you look like on the outside. Chassid the Piagetsna is what you look like on the inside. The Rebbe sees my neshama. The Ribbon Shalom sees my neshama. So we'll say, so just a few words about the Piagetsna. A little bit, just before, a little bit of biographical information. I realize you talk about the Piagetsna every week, and I never, you know, we never went through the biography. I actually did it a couple of years ago on Tisha B'Av. I spent the entire kinnis focused on the Piagetsna and the Torah of the Piagetsna. And there we did a much more exhaustive biographical sketch. But the Piagetsna of Clonimus Kalmus Shapira was born 1889, and died, was murdered in 1943. He was born in Grodzisk, Poland. His father was also a great Hasidic master who was known as the Imre Elimelech. At the age of 3, the Rebbe was orphaned by his father. So the Rebbe was a child prodigy in learning, a child prodigy in music. He was a self-taught musician. self-taught musician, and already again, already by his late teens, he had already acquired for himself an incredible and dramatic, what's the word, not identity, but reputation as a scholar, as a Rebbe. 1905, the Rebbe marries. His wife's name was Rachel Chaya Miriam, and the Rebbe had two children, a son, Elimelech Ben Sion, and a daughter, Rachel Yehudis. So in 1909, the Rebbe becomes the Rebbe Piazetzna. So Bosses, you could just appreciate. So 1909, he's 20. He's 20 years old. 20 years old, he's appointed as the Rebbe of Piazetzna, which obviously tells you to be appointed Rebbe of a town at such a young age means that clearly he was known. So between 1909 and 1939, the Rebbe developed a dramatic following and an incredibly vibrant and vital Hasidic court. He was a center of Hasidus, not just for people who lived in Piazetzna, but from all around. 1939, so the Germans, Nazis, Machshav Zichram, invade Poland, and the Rebbe's son, Elimelech Ben Sion, is killed in the bombardment. He dies in the German bombardment of Poland. In 1939, when the Germans invade, so the Rebbe is sent to the Warsaw Ghetto. Since the Warsaw Ghetto. So just so you understand, Warsaw, I a number of summers ago, I don't know if anyone here was with me, we did a trip to Poland. So you could see just the distance between Piazetzna and Warsaw, 20 kilometers. So the Rebbe is forcibly relocated from Piazetzna, ultimately again to Warsaw. The Rebbe in the Warsaw Ghetto, we've spoken about this many times, was a light in such darkness. The Rebbe established a network of underground yeshivas. Those yeshivas served as shuls as well. The Rebbe operated a soup kitchen, and the Rebbe operated an orphanage. These are all things that the Piazetzna Rebbe did. In July of 1942, the Rebbe's daughter, Rachel Yehudis, was taken out of the ghetto and was shipped off to Treblinka. Now, the Rebbe never knew what happened to his daughter. In fact, again, I've mentioned, in the introduction to Eish Kodesh, so remember again, just to take a step back, the Rebbe's most well-known work, are you going to cover on that for a second? Thank you. In his introduction to Eish Kodesh, so the Rebbe writes, all right, I'm not going to look for it for too long, but if I can find it quickly, I will.
Looking for the hammer and thing?
No, the handwriting, I can't read his handwriting, but... okay, the Rebbe, again, I can't find it in here right now, but the Rebbe writes that I do not know what happened to my daughter, Rachel Yehudis. I don't know what happened to her. And the Rebbe never knew that she was murdered immediately upon coming to Treblinka. And in fact, again, he writes in his, his introduction to the Sefer, because he knew, remember again, Eish Kodesh, which is not the Sefer we're learning now. I mean, we actually have a piece, thank you. We actually have a piece, we may do it tonight if we have time. But the Rebbe gave drushas, not every Shabbos, but many Shabbos also. And then after Shabbos, he would record the drusha. He would record it, or the Gabbai would record it. They compiled these manuscripts, hid it in a milk canister, and the Rebbe wrote a letter with it, knowing already that he wasn't going to survive the war. He wrote a letter, and in the introduction, he discusses his relative in Eretz Yisrael, send the manuscript on a relative in Eretz Yisrael, and if anyone knows what happened to my daughter, please look after her. Let's say it's the most overwhelming and tragic of stories. The Rebbe, after the Warsaw Ghetto uprising in 1943, so the Piazetzna was sent to the Travniki work camp. On November 3rd, 1943, which is the 5th of Cheshvan, the Rebbe was shot. The Rebbe was murdered with the remaining Jews of the town of Travniki. So Rabosei, so again, 5th of Cheshvan tonight. Tonight's the Rebbe's Yartzeit. He was murdered by the Nazis, Machshav Zichram, on this very day. Rabosei, what's incredible and overwhelming to contemplate. Now, by the way, just sometimes hearing the story of great people, that's Torah also. So Rabosei, you're talking about a man who led such an overwhelmingly tragic life, orphaned at a young age, saw the death of both of his children. Even though he didn't see the death of his daughter, he saw her shipped off, right? He saw in the cattle car to Treblinka. He lost everything. I will say, but the most incredible thing about the Rebbe, and you see this much more come out in his works of Eish Kodesh, is the Rebbe himself never lost his emunah. He never lost his faith in Hashem. He never lost his way. He understood that his job always was to serve. This was his avoda, was to serve, was to do, was to help. And even when life robbed him of everything, he did whatever he could for his fellow Jew, giving messages of hope, of optimism. That again, you know, in Eish Kodesh, so the tone of the drushas changes year to year. You know, in the beginning, remember again, the first drush is given 1939, really 1940 is the beginning. Tough the year, tough shin is the first drushas. The message is very hopeful, right? The message itself is very optimistic. And then as things go on, and it's clear that most people are not going to survive, so the message changes to bravery and courage in accepting death, al kiddush Hashem. Recognizing that maybe we're not going to make it out of this, but we go with our head held high. We'll say, that's the piyajatzna. That's the piyajatzna. And even if he never learned one word of his Torah, then at the end of the day, his story is the most inspirational thing in of itself. And I'm also saying, especially if you think about it, that we're observing this Yahrzeit in these days. I was saying, I just want to mention something that it's important, you know, for many of us. What's so striking about what's unfolding these days in Eretz Yisrael is many of us, right, the younger amongst us, have never experienced something like this. If you weren't alive during the Yom Kippur War, right? So then if I wasn't alive in 1973, so I don't have a frame of reference for this. I wasn't born in 1973. I've never seen anything like this before. A potential war on multiple fronts. Over 1,300 murdered. Over 2,000 injured. 203 precious neshamas held captive. Whoever saw things like this? And I would say, but it's important to always look at everything in context and to recognize this is the story of our people. Shebechol dar vadar omdim alinu lechaloseinu. Every generation, there are those who seek to wipe us out. But yet the amazing part is we're still here. And why are we still here? Because we're chassidim of the piyajatzna. Because Rabbi said the hope, the optimism, the strength, the outlook, emunah, bitachon, it's in our spiritual DNA. That is from the piyajatzna, that's from the Rebbe. I would say, that's who we are, and that's what we are. And that's why, again, we are so privileged to have a Rebbe like this. Just like the Rebbe shepherded his Hasidim through one of the darkest chapters of Jewish history during the Holocaust, the same Rebbe shepherds us through these difficult and dark days as well. So Rebbe said, we should hope that our Torah, that we learn, the chevra shaft, the feeling of achdus, the feeling of togetherness that we generate through coming here. The Rebbe brings us here together. Right? We joke about the food and this. It's not the food that brings us here. It's delicious. It's wonderful once we get here. It's not even the chevra that brings us here. That's nice once we get here. It's the Rebbe that brings us here. The Rebbe brings us here. And the same Rebbe that brought us here, and the same Rebbe that gives us strength and has given us strength through the darkest times, gives us strength during these dark times as well. To keep our emunah, to keep our bitachon, to keep our relationship with one another. And we know that if we do all of that, then Emir Hashem, we will get through this current matzah as well. And not only will we get through it, but we'll emerge stronger, we'll emerge more unified, and we'll emerge Emir Hashem even holier. So I will say, in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the merit of the Chevra Shaft, the merit of the growth, the merit of this Olus, our Rebbe's Neshama should have an Aliyah. Right, we hope that the Piyajetzna is proud of us, his Talmidim, and we hope that everything we do is a credit to his Neshama. But we also say Abakasha, we say, Rebbe, you who are in Shamayim, you are in Gan Eden, we ask you for one simple thing, just to go before the Kiseh HaKavod, go before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tonight on your Yahrzeit, when the Neshama is propelled even higher, and advocate for your people. You advocated for them in the ghetto. You advocated for them during the dark years of the Nazis, Yimach Shem Hazichram. So Piyajetzna, Rebbe, go before the Kiseh HaKavod again and once again advocate for us. And ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have rachamim. And ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have compassion. Ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to avert the din. And ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care of our soldiers. And ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care of our brothers and sisters. And most of all, ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Heilig HaPiyashatzna, to please finally see fit to bring the Melech HaMashiach, Yehi Rabbi Aminu.
Amen.
Shabbos, let's learn a piece from the Piyajatzna together. Actually, tonight, what I want to do is I actually want to share with you a piece from Parshas Noach. This is actually from Ish Kodesh. From Ish Kodesh, take a sheet, plenty of sheets. We're going to do this tonight, Emir Tzashem. Originally, I was going to tie this into a piece from B'nai Machshava Tova. I don't know that we're going to get to it tonight, but maybe we'll at least do the piece from the Pesach. So let's listen to this. So the pasuk says as follows. Now the Rebbe is quoting over here. From the beginning of Parshas Noach. Eila Todos Noach Noach Ish Tzadik. Now, the truth is, we're not going to focus even on the Vart at all. This is from Tafshin Aleph, 1941. So I'll say the Rebbe quotes an incredible Gemara. Look at the page. It says Kisa B'Sanhedrin. So I'll say this is an incredible story. The Gemara. That's how he starts. Listen to this. Maisa B'Shnei B'nei Adam Shenishbu Bahara Karmel. So I'll say it's a story about Jews being taken captive. Let's say. It's overwhelming. So the story of two Jews being taken captive, Shnishba Bahara Carmel. They were taken captive Hara Carmel. Remember, where's Hara Carmel? Hara Carmel is Haifa, right? Hara Carmel ultimately is where Elio HaNavi has his big showdown with the Nevi HaBaal. A lot of holy stuff happened in Hara Carmel. So these Jews were taken captive Hara Carmel. Listen to this. V'haya Shaboi Mahalich Achale. And ultimately, again, their captor, their Gentile captor, was walking behind them. Amrlo Achal Mehem Lechabero. So the two Jews, so we'll say, just if you imagine the scene. So the two Jews are walking. Their captor is behind them. In front of them is a camel. In front of the two Jews. Right? So you have camel, the two Jews, and the captor behind the two Jews. Okay, so what happened? Amar lo echar mehem lechabero. So one Jew said to another, Gamol shemalachas lefanenu, that camel that's walking in front of us, suma ba'achas mehena, it's blind in one eye. And it's carrying two skins on it, right? Two like receptacles, two skins, one of wine and one of oil. And the two people leading the camel, one is Jewish and one is not Jewish. Okay, so the captor overhears this whole story, right? So one Jew says again. So the Jew says a number of things. Number one, the camel's blind in one eye. Number two, the camel is holding two skins. One is oil, one is water. Number three, the two people leading it, one of them is Jewish, one of them is not Jewish. So Amar Lahem Shabbai, Am Kshe Oref. So the captor says, you stiff-necked people, Me'ayin Atam Yovdim, how do you know that? Come on. How do you know that the camel is blind in one eye, is carrying one skin of oil, one skin of water, and the two people leading it, one of them is Jewish, one of them is not. How do you possibly know that? Amar Lo. So it's very simple. They said to him, Gomel, me'asam shlefanea mitzad shera ocheles, mitzad she'eno roa eino ocheles. Next, first of all, how do I know the camel's blind in one eye? Because the camel usually eats the grass that's in front of it. I see the camel's only eating the grass on one side and not on the other side. So that must mean, of course, that the camel's blind in one eye, only sees the grass on one side and is eating the grass on that side. Okay, that's how I know it's blind in one eye. And that it's holding two skins, one of wine and one of oil. It's very simple. I see that there's liquid that's dripping out of the skins. One liquid is getting absorbed into the soil, and one liquid ultimately, again, is kind of lying on top. So remember, again, wine gets absorbed. Oil, kind of because of the thickness, remains on top of the ground. So I could see two different types of liquid. And there are two people leading the camel. One of them is Jewish, one of them is Gentile. So how do you know that? Nachri nifna l'derech, v'yisrael nifna l'tzadim. When the Gentile wants to relieve himself, he just relieves himself straight ahead. Right? Stops the caravan and just like straight ahead. The Jew, when he has to relieve himself, goes off to the side. All right? A Jew is tzenua. A Jew is modest. So what happens? So the captor hears all of this. And he's like, Noah, there's no way you're correct. So what does he do? Radav Achareim, he runs to the front of the line over there. And sure enough, what does he see? What does he see? The camel's blind in one eye. The camel is in fact carrying two skins, one of wine and one of oil. There are two people eating the camel. One of them is Jewish and one of them is not. The Jew was right on all accounts. Bav v'nashkan al roshan. So the Gentile, the captor, came along, kissed the Jews on their head. Ve'evian lebeisan, he brought them to his house. Va'asan lahen suda gidola. And he made for them a great meal. V'haya meraki lifneim. The Gentile captor was dancing in front of the Jews. Va'amar, Baruch shebachar bizarro shel Avraham. Blessed is the one who chose the offspring of Avraham, the Nasalim Echachmaso, and he gave to the offspring of Avraham his wisdom, of God's wisdom. Ubechomakum Shin Holchin, wherever they go, Naasin Sarin La'adonehem. They become the masters. They become the masters of their masters. And what happened? Upatron, he let them go free. Vahochu Lubatem L'shalom. And ultimately again, they went back to their homes in peace. Overwhelming story. So the Piagetzna, and this is actually a much longer piece. I only want to quote to you just this next piece. The Piagetzna quotes the Marsha. And the Marsha says, "Umendaik Marsha Zal, ma inyan kshe orif l'she ilaso." So if you remember again, the way the story unfolded, ultimately, the Jews are talking, right? And they say to each other again, the camel's blind in one eye, has two skins, one of wine, one of oil, two people eating it, one Jew, one Gentile, right? So the Shabbai, the captor hears this and he says to them, "I'm Kishay Oref, you stiff-necked people." So the Marsha says, why does he call them a stiff-necked people? Like, why is that here? Why is that here? Why is that now? So the Marsha says, "Umetares shahayisurim mema'atos asachachma." See, Rabbi say, the way of the world is that generally suffering diminishes wisdom. Right? That's the way of the world. Suffering diminishes wisdom. Right? When you're suffering, so Rabbi say, we know this. What happens when a person is suffering? They often don't think rationally. Right? It's an interesting thing. People think that when you're suffering, you find God. Right? That like when you're suffering, that's when people are drawn to God. I will tell you, in my experience, people who are suffering are not drawn to God. People who are suffering often don't have the bandwidth for God. Because people who are suffering often have to go ahead and summon up all of their emotional energy just to keep afloat. Crisis often doesn't engender a relationship with God. Crisis puts you in survival mode. What do I need to do in order to make it to tomorrow? What do I need to do in order to make it just an hour from now? People often don't have bandwidth for God. So the Marshal says, generally, suffering diminishes wisdom. Chachma. There's no chachma in the midst of suffering, because the totality of a person's koach is going towards survival. Veheim kshe oref. Yet Klal Yisrael, we're a stiff-necked people. How so? Lachshov al atzmam sha'odim chachamim. They will say, we never lose our wisdom. So the Shabbai, what the captor couldn't understand is essentially, this is really what it is. What the captor couldn't understand is, you guys are in captivity. And by the way, who knows what was going to happen to these Jews? So one would think at that point in time, rational thought goes out the window. You lose your wits, right? You lose your direction, and simply you just give in to yeyosh, you give in to despair. And yet, these Jews, they have their wits, they have their chachma, they're able to intuit different things that are going on around them. Or in other words, they kept it together. So the Shabbai, the captor, says, you are a stiff-necked people. And I will say, but the stiff-necked people, that was a compliment. Do you know what the greatness of Klal Yisrael is? The greatness of Klal Yisrael is grace under pressure. Is that even when things become overwhelming, we don't lose it. Even when things become difficult and tragic, and literally again, it feels like maybe the sky is falling, we steady ourselves, we know that we have a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we figure out a way forward. I will say, Do you understand when the Piagetzna was saying this? This was Parshas Noach, 1941, in the Warsaw Ghetto. Remember, I will say, in the Warsaw Ghetto, there are no children. There are no children in the Warsaw Ghetto. Children were either deported or died of starvation, which means that in the kehila, in the shul, so to speak, of the Piagetzna, almost every single person there has lost someone in the immediate past. Some, right? Whether it's their child, whether it's their spouse, whether it's their parent, whether it's all of the above. And what is the Piagetzna saying to them? Not straight out. In a nuance, because you have to be careful what you say to people who are grieving. But what does he say to them? What does he say to them? Keep it together. Keep it together. Let's keep, we can't lose ourselves. We cannot lose ourselves. We have to steady ourselves. We have to anchor ourselves. We have to somehow connect ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Hatsur Tamim Paolo, to ultimately to the rock. We have to anchor ourselves in the only thing that seems to be steady and reliable in our unpredictable world. This, Abosai, is what the Piagetzna was saying. Parshas Noach, 1941. Don't lose yourself in the chaos of the moment. Now, Abosai, what the Piagetzna was also really saying, something incredible. Piagetzna was saying, and he says this, not in this drasha, but in subsequent drashas, there is kedusha in the chaos. There's kedusha. What do I mean by that? Well, so we started Amud Yomi this week. Started on Yomi Shir. And by the way, it's fantastic. It's fine. I'm not saying because I'm giving it. It's just fantastic. It's just fantastic. And we have the best liquid refreshments. Thanks to Shmuel Artman, Baruch Hashem. We have healthy water, unhealthy water, tap water, fancy water, alkaline water, non-alkaline water, lead water, non-lead water. We've got everything. Right? And I say seltzer, everything. Everything you could possibly want. So Rabbi say in brachas, and Chevra, I urge you, because it's kedai, even if you're doing the daf, it's 20 minutes sheer. Tonight, well, I went a little bit longer, 25 minutes, 20 minutes sheer. It's beautiful. You get a daf of Gemara. We think we're just going to do it Monday through Thursday, two blot a week. You have Friday, Shabbos, Sunday to review whatever you learn. It's a mechaya. It's the best thing in the world. It's the best part of my week. I know. This is also the best part of my week. Daf Yomi is also the best part of my week. Yeah? I have a lot of best. It's like all of your children are your favorites, right? Every one of my children is my favorite. Everything is the best part of the week. Shabbos said, we learned a beautiful Gemara. You learned a beautiful Gemara. Actually, I'm going to share this. I have to go to a challah bake. I think I'm going to share this idea. That,
is that the best part of the
roast? I don't know. I haven't been there yet. I don't know what's going to happen.
It will be.
Listen, but I want to...
Oh, Howie, leave. Goodbye.
Seriously.
All right, you're out.
Come
you're
on.
The biggest link.
Yeah. Come on. You're not sitting here anymore, by the way. That's it. So listen to this. So there's a beautiful Gemara. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yossi, we just had Gimel Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yossi went into a churva, he went into a ruin, to daven, right? And Elio told him, right? So and he went into daven. Elio waits for him by the Pesach, by the entrance. And Elio Navi says to him, you know, what? Essentially, Elio gives him Musa, you shouldn't have gone into the ruin. But then Elio Navi says something amazing. Elio Navi says, what did you hear? What did you hear in the ruin? And Rabbi Yossi says, I heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I heard Hashem. Chevra, I was so struck by that Gemara. Because I think what that Gemara is saying is, it's in the ruins that you hear the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes it's dafka when everything comes crumbling down. And sometimes it's dafka when we are most vulnerable and most scared and most unsure. Sometimes it's dafka in the churva, in the destruction, that you really could hear the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you hear that voice in the midst of the churva, it steadies you. It anchors you. I could make it through this. I could be okay and not come out okay. I could come out even stronger. Rebbe said, that was what the Piagetzna was saying. That was what the Shabbai was saying. You am kishe oref. How come no one is able to break you people? Right? Mm-hmm.
Wanted to add on to your point, he built a mikvah, and because he wanted family life to go in, and he
That's it, right? So true. Right, continuity of life. Kind of beautiful, beautiful, so true. So he'll say, so you hear what the Shabbai is saying, what the captor is saying? The captor is saying is, how come I can't break you? How come no one could break you people? It's ridiculous. You're an Am Kishay Oref. Nothing breaks your spirit. Nothing breaks your spirit. The Shabbai can't believe it. You're in shackles. You're being enslaved. You're a captured Har Kamel. How come nothing breaks your spirit? How come nothing breaks our spirit? You know why? Because at the end of the day, the Shechina is in the Churban. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is closest to us, dafka in those moments when things are so incredibly difficult. I will say, this was the message in the Warsaw Ghetto, Parshas Noach 1941. And it's the message, Parshas Noach 5784. This is the message for us, I will say. There's a shtickel churban, there's some churban. There is some destruction that's happening in Klal Yisrael. But wherever you find churban, that's also where you find the Shechina. That's also where you find the Ribono Shel Olam. Sometimes the more broken we are, the more open we are to connecting with that which is whole and complete. That's how the Piagetzna steadied his Hasidim. And Abba said, that's how our Rebbe steadies us as well. So we should hope again that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Rebbe's Neshama should have an Aliyah, should have a Lichtgel Gan Eden, should be a Melitz Yosher for us, for all of Klal Yisrael. Abba said, most of all, daven for Mashiach. You know why? Imagine again, who knows what the spread is going to be when the Piagetzna is sitting here giving the shir. Right? I'll be sitting between David and Moshe Roth over there, right? I want the straight view. Right? But imagine what the spread is going to be when the Piagetzna comes to learn with us. Rabbi say, halavai, we should be zocha mirtz Hashem, that day should happen b'karov. Seshkoyach.
Everybody can help clean up.
I cover this Myriv now in the shul.